Hi, this is a special investigative report from KBIA News. I'm Janet Saidi. The Callaway Nuclear Power Plant, just south of Fulton, Missouri, is described as having a safety-conscious work environment, according to Nuclear Regulatory Commission officials, or NRC officials. But since 2005, there have been at least 14 documented allegations of discrimination against employees for reporting safety concerns at the Callaway plant. NRC reports show that a number of issues documented in the plant Corrective Action Program, that's the main avenue in which employees report safety concerns, have not been reviewed properly or prioritized properly. One employee who was not happy with how his safety concern was dealt with received a $550,000 settlement after he was discriminated against for pursuing safety concerns. KBIA's Patrick Sweet and Rebecca Townsend have spent months investigating his concerns and other concerns about the plant. They bring this report. Here's Patrick Sweet.
Larry Crishone wants to inspect commercial nuclear reactors because he wants to hold people accountable. That would be the next in a long line of jobs in nuclear science that Crishone has held. He used to be a midshipman on nuclear Navy submarines. Then he became a senior reactor operator at the Callaway nuclear plant south of Fulton. Now he works behind a desk for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Becoming an inspector, he said, allows him to ensure more safety in the nuclear power industry. He says the industry safety culture is lacking.
Well, I found that a lot of the people at the NRC don't walk the talk. They'll speak the safety culture, but then when you bring a problem to them, they act like bureaucrats.
Crishone is addicted to procedure. After all, it's his stubborn pursuit for action on a safety concern that ended his employment at Ameren UE's Callaway plant. The company paid Crishone $550,000 to settle a complaint that the utility discriminated against him after he raised a safety concern. That certainly wasn't the first, nor the last, time that an employee complained of retribution after citing safety problems. Since 2005, there have been at least 17 documented cases of alleged discrimination at the Callaway plant. That's according to NRC documents acquired under the Freedom of Information Act. Nationally, from 2006 to 2009, there were a total of 311 allegations of discrimination at all 61 of the country's nuclear power plants. In that time period, there were 11 at Callaway, including 8 in 2007. The average for the time period was just more than 5. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission encourages its licensees to mediate and settle such complaints using standard procedures. Alternative dispute resolution policies, also referred to as ADR, are intended to encourage employees to continue reporting safety issues without worrying about discrimination. When employees settle cases, though, ADR closes any investigation into the alleged discrimination. Crishone concedes that the safety problem he complained about would not have led to disaster. The historic episodes at Chernobyl and Three Mile Island are a far cry away from what happened at the Callaway plant.
The reactor is designed, unlike the Chernobyl reactor, in Russia, U.S. reactors are designed to shut down when you have a rapid temperature rise. And they had a 3-degree temperature rise in a 1-minute period. The nuclear physics involved shut the reactor down. No automatic systems did, no human action. It was basically just the design of the plant. Well, in all the confusion, this shutdown went unnoticed. And that, in and of itself, is not a dangerous thing.
But the problem was well worth noting, Crishone said. In 2005, he discovered, while reviewing paperwork, that operators in the Callaway plant control room failed to insert control rods into the reactor for roughly 100 minutes after it had shut down in October 2003. The control room is much like the driver's seat in a car, and control rods are much like the parking brake. They prevent the reactor from undergoing nuclear fission.
The reactor went to its safe condition. It shut down. And at 10:18, the crew restored letdown. And they exited their off-norm procedure for loss of letdown. And at that point, had they recognized that the reactor had shut down, and I don't fault them for not recognizing it earlier, and I don't fault them for not recognizing it later, but had they recognized that the reactor was shut down, every senior reactor operator and every reactor operator in this country will tell you what they should have done was inserted the control rods.
Krishan filed a report through Callaway's Corrective Action Program, the primary avenue through which employees call attention to safety issues. The shutdown didn't go according to procedure, and Krishan thought Amer and Yui should review the matter so they could prevent it from happening again. Krishan's bosses disagreed. He lobbied for action on his report and got nowhere. Frustrated about the low priority his report received, Krishan enlisted the help of a senior employee, Gary Olmsted. He hoped a similar report from Olmsted would get more attention. Olmsted says he was taken aback by Krishan's request.
I asked him if he'd written a corrective action request, because that would be, you know, normally when you come across something, that's what you would do. He told me that he had, and it had been closed almost immediately with no action taken, which surprised me, given that it was a pretty unique problems associated with a reactor shutdown.
Olmsted filed the twin report. Management gave it slightly higher priority, but both men say it brought similar inaction, at least in terms of safety. By the end of the process, Callaway managers passed over Krishan for promotion in January 2006, and Krishan lost his senior reactor operating license. The alleged discrimination doesn't surprise Olmsted. He said he also had a strained relationship with a manager after he rewrote a report for the Anonymous Employee Concerns Program after the manager failed to act on it. The small size of the department, Olmsted said, made it easy for the manager to identify him as the source of the complaint.
Yeah, I know that it cost me money. Now, I raised that allegation with the NRC, and they told me that I must have been imagining it, but I went from I was going to get a raise and I was going to get a bonus like the week before I went to employee concerns to about 2 weeks after I went to employee concerns, I was called in and told I was not getting a raise and I was not getting a bonus. Yeah, I was told that my performance just really wasn't that great, and it must have taken a severe drop in the 3 weeks' time.
In 2007, Krishan had attorneys draft a complaint for the U.S. Department of Labor. They told Amer and Yui their intentions, and the utility offered the settlement. Krishan accepted the settlement for a couple of reasons. First, it was $550,000, which Krishan called a very fair, very generous settlement. Second, and more important, he believed the settlement would not prevent him from pursuing an NRC investigation into his safety concern and the subsequent discrimination complaint. But after the settlement, the investigation was closed, and he has had to fight for any attention to his concerns.
I've been dragging them, kicking and screaming, more or less, into this. You know, they're doing everything they can to just close the issue and avoid doing the investigation that the public really expects them to do. They expect a strong investigation of concerns.
In 2004. The commission implemented a revamped alternative dispute resolution program to settle discrimination cases faster than full investigations allowed. An NRC brochure describes the program as promoting a safety-conscious work environment. Inspectors examine a plant's safety-conscious work environment by evaluating how comfortable plant employees are with reporting safety problems and how effective the avenues used to report them are. Billy Gard is an attorney specializing in whistleblower issues in Washington, D.C. She helped frame the ADR policies, but she doesn't think they match her original aim. She says that the current policies sometimes seem to put safety up for sale.
We don't want there to be a situation where a worker is in the position of settling his employment dispute and abandoning his safety concerns. And in some cases, we think that has happened.
The NRC encourages licensees, like Callaway, to go through mediation by ensuring that the investigations will be closed. But the settlement agreement must not prohibit an employee from raising concerns in the future. In Krishan's case, Amer and Yui attorney Patrick Hickey forwarded his settlement agreement to the NRC in an email to certify that it fit the ADR policies. The email was characterized as, quote, relating to Mr. Krishan's employment at Callaway. Nick Hilton is with the NRC's Office of Enforcement. He wrote, "The NRC has reviewed the subject settlement agreement and does not have any concerns regarding restrictive agreements." The emails confirm the existence of similar settlements. Once those settlements have been approved, the investigations are closed. Krishan's case also was closed, despite a letter specifically requesting that a settlement not close any investigations and that the settlement not be considered under the umbrella of ADR. If a settlement involves a safety concern, Gard says, that concern still should go through the NRC's allegation process.
Their cases are being settled, that is, their employment cases are being settled, but they're not there's no accountability or assurance that their safety-related concerns have been addressed.
In 2008, the NRC approved 12 settlement agreements along the lines of its alternative dispute resolution policies. All but one settlement was negotiated before the NRC met with the plant operators. That's according to NRC documents. Grishon's discrimination case ultimately was investigated, though, after Grishon fought for it. Tim Steele is the employee concerns coordinator at the Callaway nuclear plant. His is one of the corner offices in a room full of cubicles. Steele is charged with making sure employees' rights to raise safety concerns are maintained, and he said he welcomes workers into his office at any time. Steele wouldn't speak about individual cases, including Grishon's. In general, though, Steele sticks with the NRC's assertion that the plant has a safety-conscious work environment. He says, quote, "In the past, we've had some issues," but he says, "It's been a few years since we've had any issues." Steele recognizes that ADR policies are contentious. Steele praised ADR, though, because it is faster than investigations that leave people suspicious of each other. Ideally, though, Steele doesn't ever want issues to reach ADR. He says, quote, "If we get to ADR, personally, I think we missed something." An attempt to reach NRC investigators familiar with the Callaway plant was redirected to NRC spokesperson Victor Drix. Asked about technical details related to Grishon's case, Drix was tight-lipped. Drix said, "The NRC interviewed more than 100 people as part of the safety concerns brought to our attention. Some operator performance issues were identified, but they did not endanger public health or safety." He also said, "You can ask me questions all afternoon, but that's the only answer you'll get." An Ameren-UE attorney is always present during interviews such as those Drix cited. Olmsted says the presence of an attorney influences the answers.
And everybody that goes in that room is well aware that he is there to keep track of what's going on and immediately go to your boss.
Larry Grishon believes the nuclear power is a safe energy source and is optimistic that a better culture of safety can be achieved. A lot of times, he says, safety concerns are handled appropriately. But sometimes, he says, they're not. For KBIA News, I'm Patrick Sweet.
That was KBIA reporter Patrick Sweet working with Rebecca Townsend. This report was a collaboration between investigative reporters and editors and the Columbia Missourian. For more information, go to kbia.org, or to see the Missourian story, go to columbiamissourian.com. Thanks for listening.